Despite having strengthened the rules around defined benefit transfer advice, the Financial Conduct Authority has said that too much advice it's seen to date is still not of an acceptable standard. Of around 235,000 members seeking advice between April 2015 and September 2018, 69% had been recommended to transfer, the FCA recently revealed. It announced further action on transfers, and depending on the outcome of advisor assessments this year, the FCA will consider extending its assessments to take in a wider range of firms in 2020. I'm Sophia Imeson, Deputy Editor at Pensions Expert, and with me to discuss regulation of DB transfer advice today are Tom Selby, Senior Analyst at AJ Bell, and Bob Scott, Senior Partner at LCP.
Hello.
Hello.
So Tom, why have transfers from DB pension schemes proved so attractive in recent years?
Yeah, I think we've seen a bit of a lethal cocktail of various things going into the market to make transfers more attractive to individuals. So probably the most high profile part of that was the pension freedoms introduced in 2015, clearly creating extra flexibility for people who are moving into DC schemes, both in terms of the way they take income from a pot, but also at the end of their lives when they're passing their money onto loved ones. A much more attractive regime there. The second part has been the macroeconomic bit. So we've seen record low gilt yields over a significant period of time. So that happened at just the same time as we introduced pension freedoms. You had transfer values being pushed up through the roof, making them potentially more attractive, so higher values for people to take their money out of their DB pot and transfer it in to a DC's pot. And then to throw it into the mix with that as well, we've had all sorts of corporate uncertainty. So it's been the past couple of years within Philip Green and the BHS scheme. We've seen issues around Carillion as well. So you put all of that stuff together and you've got a real mix of stuff that's pushing people potentially to consider giving up what are extremely valuable benefits.
And how will the FCA's increased scrutiny of transfer advisors help savers?
Now, it's quite interesting. Bob and I were talking about that just outside before. The thing to remember here is there's been quite a lot of rhetoric from the FCA, so some very strong words in its statement, but nothing has really changed for financial advisors in the market, and nothing's really changed for savers either. So the FCA said it's concerned about the proportion of people who are being advised to move out of DB schemes. I think it will hope that its strong words will put off advisors who are perhaps operating close to the margins of its rules and its guidelines, but nothing has changed yet. I think the thing to look out for will be around contingent charging later on in the year. So the FCA has said we're going to hear something from it on contingent charging, but what that is, I think, remains to be seen.
I think I'd just add that the number of people seeking quotes and the proportion of people transferring has just come off a little bit in the last year or so compared to the very high levels we saw in 2017.
Yeah, I think there is an argument to be had that this is a case of the FCA acting perhaps later than when all the activity goes on. So you have all this activity going on in 2015, 2016, 2017, even through 2018, and the FCA is finally getting tough on it. But when you talk about the impact on savers, the savers who have transferred have made the decision, and certainly from our perspective, we're seeing transfer flows from DB schemes falling quite substantially now.
The FCA obviously wants to protect consumers, but is there a chance that cracking down too much on advisors could affect the ability of savers to transfer where it is in their interests?
Yeah, so this is in my job, I spend quite a lot of time speaking to direct investors, and one of the big issues that has existed since pension freedoms has actually been the lack of supply of advice in the DB market. And while clearly leaving a DB scheme and going to a DC scheme is a huge decision, the FCA's position for a while has been that the advisors need to assume it's not in clients' best interests unless they can prove otherwise. Nonetheless, there are certain circumstances where it can be in someone's best interest. The most obvious example being where you look at the death benefits around DC schemes and the ability to pass it on to loved ones. So I think that is a concern that we're going to see a contraction of supply, but equally you want to be making sure that people are getting the best advice possible.
Would you agree with that, Bob?
There's also, I think, a bit of momentum building up against people who have an incentive to advise a transfer to a fund that they have an interest in following the transfer, so that they draw an income from that as a result of charges coming out of the pension pot after the transfer. I think those sort of arrangements can potentially incentivize poor advice as well.
And Bob, you've mentioned before that the government could help by giving members the right to access their DB pensions flexibly without having to transfer to a DC arrangement. So do you think that we could see more DB flexibility in future? And if not, what else can employers and trustees do to help members?
Yeah, this was something that the Treasury said at the time of pension freedoms, the response to the consultation. They said that they would be looking to consult on opening up DB schemes to offer the same flexibilities as DC, which would then take out that intermediate step of having to transfer out of the DB into a DC to access the flexibilities. But that all got put on the back burner and we haven't seen anything. I think it would be helpful if that were resurrected and that would give those people flexibilities. In the meantime, I mean, what can employers and trustees do? Well, one thing that you can do is offer a partial transfer. So someone with a substantial DB transfer value, instead of having to take an all or nothing decision whether to transfer or leave it behind, can perhaps take out 50% of it, put in a DC pot and keep the other half for income.
And how can an employer-hired independent financial advisor help members make better decisions? Is it only an option for employers that have, you know, can afford to pay for that advice?
Well, I think we've said several times the key is here for individuals to get good advice. And there are lots of good advisors providing good advice, but the key is to identify them and to give members access to that good advice. It doesn't have to be the employer who's paying for it. It's possible for the trustees to help pay for the advice. Even just giving people access to the good advice and they have to pay for it themselves would be beneficial. And I think it's reminding people of all the options that they have. It's helping people make the right decision, whether that decision is to transfer or to take early retirement or to do something or not to do something. Because sometimes not doing something can be as bad a decision as doing something.
And Tom, would you like to see more employer-hired IFAs?
Well, I think the more people that can get good quality independent financial advice, the better. I think I'm not sure, Bob, in your experience. Well, I think one of the issues that I've heard of, kind of anecdotally, has been around concerns that if, as an employer, if you arrange for, say, a panel of financial advisors for people, obviously the good thing should be that the employer's done the due diligence on those advisors. If something then goes wrong with that advice, then the employer may be concerned about being on the hook or being held responsible in some way for the quality of those advisors that they're recommended. I don't know if that's something that you're seeing on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, there is an initial reluctance. So, I mean, I think probably, anecdotally, perhaps one scheme in six that I'm aware of has that sort of arrangement. And those points that you make, Tom, are things that concern them. Also, there are employers who think, well, if we put up a financial advisor to give advice to members, then we're in some way endorsing transferring out or taking options that may not be in the members' interest. So there are reluctance among some employers, but I think there's a trend towards more people appointing their own advisors.
Yeah, and I think hope from this point we'll perhaps swing towards something that's a slightly calmer equilibrium. Clearly, we've had kind of fire and brimstone from the FCA on this, and it's done that for a reason. It's trying to kind of scare the market straight. But what you don't want to do is swing to a point where you go from concerns about one group of people being left disadvantaged all the way to concerns where nobody can transfer at all, and you end up with another group of people being disadvantaged. Yeah. So I think hopefully we'll end up a reasonable point in the middle. Now, whether contingent charging will be part of that and or not remains to be seen. There's clearly a lot of political pressure around that particular charging method, but clearly the concern there is that you're potentially going to make DB transfer advice less available, particularly to lower income groups as well. So I hope that we're going to move to somewhere that's slightly more measured on DB transfers, but we're not quite there yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Bob. For more on DB transfer advice, please visit pensions-expert.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.